Bay Business News focuses exclusively on Mobile and Baldwin County. Weekly news briefs covering a variety of occupations, including banking, media, legal, healthcare, real estate, and much more. Subscribe for free at baybusinessnews.com and join our list of more than 10,000 well-informed executives.
The Bayou Boys at Bayou Fasteners in Saraland are ready to help you get the job done. Whether you need fasteners, braces, or industrial supplies, we offer over 16,000 square feet of inventory and over 90 years of experience for any job size you have. Whether you're on the job site or the do-it-yourself, the Bayou Boys are here to help you screw it up the right way. Bayou Fasteners in Saraland on Industrial Parkway, online at BayouFasteners.com, or call Bayou Fasteners today, 675-4893.
Cause it's midnight in Montgomery. Just hear that whippoorwill. See the stars light up the purple sky.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Amber Alert in Decatur, so... You didn't catch that. Decatur quite a ways away, but not really anything that is local to be concerned about. But if that changes, we will keep an eye on it and let you know. In the meantime, 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the show. You text me. Still to come on the program. Charlotte Knox, she is running for re-election, Mobile County Circuit Court Clerk. That's in about a half hour. And then also the 11 o'clock hour, the bottom 11 o'clock hour, State Representative Chris Blackshear from Phoenix City, one of the chief sponsors of the gambling bill, trying to get some of the unanswered questions that remain answered in that 11:30 segment. So stick around for that. But joining us now, keep it true to our pledge to get these guys on once a week. We'll have Congressman Moore on tomorrow. But today we got Congressman Jerry Carl with us. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I'm great. How are you doing, buddy?
Doing well. Stay busy. It's really picked up here. We got a legislative session. We're within the 30-day window of a very competitive election between you and Congressman Moore. And then we got we got this ALGOP event Friday night and the business meeting on Saturday. So my plate's pretty full right now. I'm sure yours is as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a good time to be involved in politics of any type. I know the states, everybody's up there in the state, and they're trying to get their stuff accomplished. And, we're trying to get through the next 3 weeks and obviously to win, and everybody's working hard. There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, how you look, Congressman? Last time we talked, the polling's all over the place. And here's the other thing about the polling, Congressman, and you can respond to this. I think there's a lot of polling going on, and people aren't sure what congressional district they are in. But when these phone surveys go out, they may assume they're in an old one or a new one. Who knows? How do you feel about all of that?
You know, the campaign itself, Jeff, we're getting excited. I mean, our phones are beginning to light up. People are wanting signs. You know, we see a lot of movement. And we really feel like our message, you know, is getting out there. It's beginning to resonate with people. You know, we don't talk to problems to death. We actually work. We do something. We don't talk the talk. We walk the walk. We feel like that's getting out there and resonating with everyone. So we're excited. It's looking positive. Polls are polls are polls. What do you want it to say? What does the numbers give you? As a candidate, you want great polls. You want to see your numbers increase, but the only poll that I'm really focused on is obviously March the 5th at 7 o'clock when they start putting that poll together. That's the only one that really counts. So, yes, it's going to be a tight race. I encourage everybody to get out and vote. It's going to go down to the wire. But we're getting excited. We're beginning to see a lot of movement in our camp.
Well, we'll talk about that. Like, yeah, you watch the trends, the ebbs and flows. Where are you? Because to me, this is about the time, maybe about a week or two from now, where people start really paying attention and you can really get an accurate assessment of the enthusiasm or the interest in this race itself.
Well, in this race, obviously, I mean, without a doubt, you know, border, that's the number one issue. And everybody wants to know, what are you going to do about the border? And of course, we do our pitch on that. I mean, we want the border shut down. Excuse me. We want the border closed altogether. Well, you know, we want to stop that steady flow of illegal immigrants that are coming across the border, and we want to send them back. We don't need 8 million people stumbling around in our backyard looking for a job or looking for somebody to feed them, because the problem we've got, we haven't realized it yet, but it's coming. I met with some of the school systems last week, and they're talking about having to start schools just that do nothing but speak second languages. Because there's so many of these kids that are getting in the school system. We need to educate them. I don't have a problem with that. But when that starts, and then our hospitals and they start filling up with people with no insurance because they're here illegally, I mean, it's just so many side effects that most folks are not paying attention to. So we've got to shut the border down. We've got to get these illegal immigrants back out, wherever they come from, send them back. And the only person to do that is Donald Trump. I mean, Biden has had 4 years, and he's done nothing but make it worse and worse and worse. When Trump was in there, we didn't have a problem at the border. The border was very controllable. But through Biden, through his constant messaging, telling everybody to come to America, this is what we've got. And it's very disheartening, especially being in Washington and having to live it every day, and people fussing at you about an open border. It really gets tough. But hey, that's what I'm sent there to do. We're constantly trying to figure out ways to fix it. But we got to have somebody can work with us, or will work with us, I should say.
Well, and you know, a lot of this is self-inflicted by this administration. We went through this. Talk a little bit about on this, if you would, the so-called border bill, which is, I think, more of a Ukraine funding bill, but such as it is,
that's exactly what it is.
The designated title is border bill, and the media had decided as such. But here's where I stand, and I hear this and the reporting on this on some of the left-leaning media outlets, like I'm too stupid to figure it out. That this is how they're going to get more funding for Ukraine, and they're not even really willing to do much on the border, it looks like.
So on the border bill, when we looked at it, I didn't read every page of it, but I've read enough, and we picked enough of it apart. And that's the Senate bill, not ours, but it's the Senate. There is the president is talking about 5,000 people a day coming across that he will allow in this bill. Well, it's his job to define how the 5,000 qualify or not. So you're basically telling me the guy that created this whole problem, we're going to turn around and tell him he's limited to 5,000, but he gets to determine what 5,000 there are. No. He could fix it and it'd be 10,000, but we only claim 5,000. You got to read between the lines with the politics on this. That bill was simply put together by the Democrats in the Senate for Ukraine funding, period. They knew they were not going to get it through the House. There's no doubt about it. They put the Israeli money in there. They put the border money in there to surround it, so we have to take hard votes. Then you'll hear them say, well, we offered a border bill, and they voted it down. Of course, it never made it out of the Senate, never made it to the floor. You'll see the Republicans make a counter offer. If they're smart, they will, because Democrats are going to turn it down. And then the Republicans can say, hey, we tried to make a deal with the Democrats, and they turned us down. It's just typical Washington politics that no one, including myself, don't quite understand some days. It's pretty simple. You want Ukraine money? Let's vote on it. You want Israeli money? Let's vote on it. You want border money? Let's vote on it. But if it's border money, let's be honest where it's being spent. We don't need more bodies down there directing people where the traffic flow. We need bodies down there putting up more wire and stopping people from crossing and controlling the flow that comes into this country. We're not, you know, it's got to be a controlled, if any. But we got to get these people back. We've got to get them back to the countries they came from. And don't tell me all how we're going to do that. Buy them a ticket. We're giving free money now. They're in our hospitals. They're in our schools. Well, they're living off the tax dollars now. Why not?
Let's get them back. Congressman, remember when we talked about this with Trump and you know, the, do you remember the deportation squads? And they were like really demonizing it, trying to make it, no one really knew what the deportation, but it's been branded as such. A mass deportation is a no-no. It's a third rail, but it sounds, and you're not the only one, it sounds, but a lot of Republicans are kind of coming around and saying, wait a minute here, we got to do this. It just isn't reasonable not to.
We cannot allow the liberal portions of this country to run and dictate what we do and how we do it. I'm elected in District 1 to stand up for the values and the people in District 1, period. Period. I don't care what they say in California. But when it comes to protecting my 770,000 people that I'm responsible for, ship them all back. Very simple. You can call it what you want to. The media can call. Had a conversation with a guy today. He was blaming me for a woman and a child, drowning and coming across the border down there. Well, hey, you can put a spin on anything, and the loss of any life is horrible. But you can't just arbitrarily, because it's a political thing to do, start blaming people for things like, if they were here, first of all, they started, they're not supposed to be here. They're supposed to be on the other side of the border. That's all changed by Biden. Now, they're supposed to be waiting on the other side of the border. But it's wide open, Jeff. You know that as well as I do. So we've got to stop it. And we've got the people that walk in the street. What are we going to do with them? Are we going to put them on Social Security? Are we going to put them on the government's payroll? There's just no one has answers to all of that. No one wants to talk about the end results here because they're afraid, oh, well, he'll be labeled as this or labeled as
right.
That. I say send him home. Well, send them home. Call me what you want to.
You and I have had this discussion, like, what could possibly be the motivation for being this lax at the border, allowing this much migration to occur in America? So, number one, it's the political aspect. Even if you – well, two schools of thought there, that this is a bunch of new Democrat voters and are, we could move these people around and put them in some of these states that are losing population that are blue states – and preserve the congressional map like we see fit. That's this is the political side of it. Then it's just the economic side of it, that you introduce an artificial labor supply to keep labor costs low. Do you see that as the motivation, perhaps? And that is the reluctance, or no, I don't know reluctance, but is the word, but maybe the reason why they're so willing to demonize those who even mention the word deportation.
Well, I believe it's a little bit of all of that. I think everyone has their own motivations. And I believe some people truly believe everything you just said. So if you've got people that want to tear this country apart, there's no better way than to tear it apart through, economy. I mean, look what all these illegals are going to do to our economy and our tax base, so on and so forth. I think it is a willful idea, just like the fentanyl coming across the border. I think China has every intention of destroying this country with that fentanyl. I'll blame them to the day I die. But we, the people, have got to take back over. It's almost like, look at Europe. Look what's happening in Europe. I mean, my wife and I, we were on business in London, and we had to leave 12 hours early to beat the protesting in the middle of the street. It was the... I think it was the Muslims that were protesting that day. I mean, all these different folks that are moving in there are just tearing these European countries apart. That's going to be us in 20 years, folks. That's going to be us if we don't stop what we're doing. It may not be Muslims. Maybe, it'll be somebody. But and the people coming across, we are scanning our ability to stop and to look at each one of these. It's impossible. You can't process 10,000 people a day and get all the bad players out of there. So we've got to stop it. We've got to get them back. I tell you, Trump had the best border plan. We need to go back to Trump's border plan. We need somebody like Trump. And I'm not doing a Trump sales pitch, but boy, by George, what he did worked. So let's get him back in there and let him do the job again.
Well, on that note, and this is kind of outside your race, but Give us your thoughts on where we are, just big picture wise, in this upcoming election. At least where I should say where Republicans are. That includes not only the White House but both houses of the Congress.
I saw some numbers yesterday, Jeff, that blew my mind. They were talking, and I would not have guessed this. So this came as a shock to me. But they were talking about the country was leaning so heavily towards the Republicans this cycle, which shouldn't surprise me, but I just don't feel that on the floor because it's always a struggle down there. It's always a push. It doesn't matter what we're doing. It's just a very stressful place to be. But it's leaning towards the Republicans quite heavily, not just in the presidential race, but also the House and the Senate. Listen, if we can get President Trump in there, and if we can get control of the Senate, we take control of the House, and we get enough governing-minded people that want to get a job done, my gosh, what we can do for this country. I mean, we can roll back some of this environmental terrorist stuff, excuse me, that's going on. We can get some real legislature passed in there and make this country great. And just, I'm telling you, and that poll yesterday that I read, it was an ABC poll, you may have it, and that's not a conservative group that ran the poll. But the president's race, if President Trump, if they find him guilty on a federal charge, I'm told, not an expert, I'm told he cannot run for president. That's going to cause some serious problems in this country because nobody, including me, nobody trusts the justice system right now. And we've got to have a Trump in there to start picking this justice system apart. There's a lot of good people in our justice system. I will defend our local FBI and folks any day, but the upper management is horrible. We've got to focus on that. And that's going to be the job of the president. He's the one that appoints those people.
Carson, we've got to leave it there. You're always very kind to come on. Folks want to find out more about your campaign. How may they do so?
Jerry Carr for Congress. We'd love to have you. Conservative on the ballot March the 5th. Certainly appreciate your vote to represent you in Congress.
Jerry Carl, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
First class on a flight from New York to Los Angeles. Kind of making small talk, killing time, flirting with the flight attendant.